So that is the location where Krishna descended, and it is called part of Bharatvarsha actually. So by killing the mother, selling her flesh, we want to reach the welfare state, the wealth. We want to create a Lakshmi for ourselves. And of course, there are so many bad things, of course, happening also, not only in India, but over the whole world. But especially nowadays, there are all kinds of bad news about gang rapes. So basically, what we see, not only in India, but it's like spreading all over the world, is we kill our mother and we sell the meat, we eat the meat, and we rape our daughters. And this is the price that we have to pay in this world to fulfill our desires. So this is welfare, this is being developed, being civilized. And yeah, from the point of view from spiritualists, from people who are elevated from material desires, it's something to cry about. It's so ghastly, so intense that even tears cannot come up. So as here is mentioned, out of this sky, or out of this dark universe, if we go out of this, then we come in the Brahma Jyoti. So basically what we see is, of course, the whole universe is black, and that is because we are in a kind of a, you know, in a container. And in that container, we experience that we are the Lord and Master of everything. And it's actually a macro universe, and then at the same time there is a micro universe, that is this body. The soul is in the body. It's captivated in this body. There are some experiences of people who have near-death experiences, and often they describe that they were kind of walking through a dark tunnel, and then at the end of the tunnel there was bright light. I don't know if you have ever heard such a thing, you, Madhu? In the Shastras it is described actually that the moment we, you know, our physical body stops with the activities, the eyes close, and the soul is then captured in this body. And the soul tries to get out of this body through one of the nine gates. And as soon as he goes out, then he comes in the light, of course. So that is the dark tunnel, because the soul, we, so when we close our eyes, we are in this container. And of course, when we close our eyes, the soul sees actually our body from the inside. So it's dark because there is no light. We are not, you know, we are not giving light. We are not self-illuminating. The only body that is self-illuminating as we know it is the sun. That is what Prabhupada mentions here. So it's not impossible that there are self-illuminating bodies or planets. So in when we go out of this container of 14 planets, then we will see the Brahma Jyoti. And the Brahma Jyoti is actually so effulgent, so strong, that we cannot use these eyes to see it. It's, you know, our eyes will not function. Our eyes cannot even you know, properly see in this light what to speak of. You know, we cannot even look properly at the sun, what to speak of two suns or 10 suns. So thinking of million suns is like unimaginable for our tiny brains and tiny concept of what we can and what we cannot. So there in Vaikuntha, in the spiritual sky, Golok Vrindavan, it's always light, because everything is emitting light. Everything is emitting light. So when there is annihilation, it's mentioned that all planets, everything are destroyed, is destroyed. The only thing that is left are eternal is Goloka Vrindavan, Krishna Lok, and the Vaikuntha planets. Other than that, everything is destroyed. So, yes, we are here in this creation, and we think, you know, this is my body, this is my home, this is my husband, child, father, mother, whatever. But whose is this body? Is this body mine? Madhu? Yeah, this morning was, but that's under the direction of Lord. No, Om Purnamidam Purnamada. Yeah. It's complete. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so this body, we have to come to the realization that this body belongs to Krishna. So the way you look, the gray hair that we have, the crooked nose that we might have, the, you know, the eyes that are maybe not so functioning anymore, everything that is here, it's not ours. It's Krishna's. And he gave this because we deserve that. And based on our previous actions, we have gotten this vehicle. So what is ours? What is ours is our desires. Our desires and the results of our actions. Our actions from this life, actions of previous lives, that is the results of these, those actions, that is ours and our desires. So as soon as we transform these desires into spiritual desires, desires to please Krishna, through that we will become then liberated, and actually we will be then in our real position. So actually there is nothing else than what exists. You know, everything is Krishna's, this body is Krishna's, this is Krishna's, everything here is Krishna's, but also outside, everything is Krishna's. So what really exists is only Krishna, because these are all manifestations of Krishna. At the same time, also the soul exists. So the Lord exists and the Jiva exists. But they don't exist separately from each other. They have a relationship. And that relationship is maintained by bhakti. And bhakti is translated as love of Godhead, and love is expressed in actions, dealings with each other. If you love someone, then it's not that you will say, okay, I love you, so fine. If you love your mother or your father or your brother or your sister, it's not that you just say, okay, we love each other. But you express your love by, you know, if it's your brother, then one time you will do some extra thing for him to please him. Or if it's some difficult time, you will help him out. He needs some money, you will give him. Or your brother will give you something when you have a, you know, tough time. So in exchanges, you develop your love and also you experience the love. So in exchanges, we call it devotional service. So devotional service is the way to exchange our love for Krishna. So devotional service can, you know, the most used example is cleaning the temple room or cleaning in general. But devotional service is, of course, more than that. Devotional service is not only practical seva, but it's also thinking or using your intelligence in the service of Krishna. That's why bhakti as we know it, devotional service, is more than chanting, more than reading. It's actually your way of living. It's the way that you design your life. It's the way that you deal with others. It's the way that you derive realizations, experiences. That is bhakti. Bhakti is not only chanting, because that is a very, very, you know, narrow understanding of bhakti. So this facility of devotional service, it's mentioned here by Prabhupada. The words, let me see. The Katha Upanishad also confirms that in the spiritual world there is no need of sunshine, moonshine, or stars, for the world, whole spiritual sky is illuminated by the internal potency of the Supreme Lord. That supreme abode can be achieved only by surrender and by no other means. It's very absolute, like, you know, this morning I was also saying, this is so absolute, there is no question, there is no opening for some doubts, or, you know, there is by no other means. It's not like by, you know, it's like the main mean to go there, but it's by no other mean. So there is no other way that you can go to the Supreme Abode. If there is, if you want to go somewhere, you have different possibilities. You have different options. But in this case, there is no other option than this. So, okay. Well, other religions, you mean Christianity or hello?
Mm-hmm.
There are two ways to experience spirituality. One way is that we do practice religious activities to, you know, for our temporary benefit, to have less problems or to have a better health or whatever. The other way is, and that is what the Bhagavad Gita says, for all practices, I am the goal. For everything, the goal is to attain me. So, why should we be interested for religious practices to attain the Lord? Because we are so full with our own problems. At the same time, we have different kind of mentalities, different kind of levels of development of our spiritual identity. And we feel, it's like when you go to school, when you are in the first grade, you will not be able to understand the sixth grade classes. At the same time, when you are in the sixth grade, you have a challenge to make that person who is in the first grade to understand that there is more knowledge. You know, when you are small, you learn that 2 minus 2 is 0, 2 minus 3 is not possible. So when you grow older, you learn 2 minus 3 is possible. So that is a very big contradictory, isn't it? Because you are first told, no, it's not possible. You even get a line through your answer if you give that a different answer. But then when you grow older, you say, yeah, 2 minus 3 is possible. So we have a certain understanding, and according to that understanding, we take up a certain religious process. And usually religion has a service to the society to develop morale, good values, because that is the way to develop your spiritual identity. You have to transform yourself from the mode of ignorance to the mode of passion to the mode of goodness, and then become transcendentalist. So unless you are in the mode of goodness, you will not be able to understand the deeper meaning of each religion. So what religion generally does is cultivates people from the mode of ignorance to the mode of goodness. That is, all religion have that in common. And it's not that they say, no, it's not possible that you cannot reach God, but they limit themselves to that, you know, to that action, bringing people, cultivating people up to the mode of goodness. It's like when we were at a function in a church, there was an installation of a certain person, and that person was giving a speech, and there was a, you know, kind of a class. And the way that there were very nice songs and very nice class, but all was focused on attaining good morale, good value, coming to the mode of goodness. God was there mentioned, but as, you know, barely touched. The topic of God was not really discussed. What was discussed mainly was how we should become a better person, what we should do to become a better person. And that's also very important, because you cannot become a devotee unless you are a better person. So we should cultivate good qualities. But at the same time, so each religion, it has a certain area. And like some religions are that when you do such a thing, you get praise and you come in heaven. Or when you do another thing that is bad, you will be punished and you will be thrown in hell for eternity or whatever. So that gives a certain pressure on your life. You know, you are always on a certain pressure and you feel like, okay, and you know, when I do this, oh, maybe I will go to hell, so I shouldn't do it. So, okay, I should do, you know, I should do good. That's the purpose of religion, and that's fine. But what Hinduism, what the Bhagavad Gita says, he says, okay, whatever you do, the responsibility is yours. When you do this, this is the reaction. And the reaction you will have to, you know, go through. You have to experience. When you do good things, you will have good results. You will have a good life, blah, blah, blah. When you do bad things, you will also enjoy bad results. So the responsibility is yours. And the responsibility in the case of religion, who says that, you know, when you do this, you will be condemned or you will be praised, you know, the responsibility comes to the person that judges your action. So that doesn't have to be you. That is usually the religious society or the religious leader or the church that you're connected to or whatever. So it keeps you in a certain mode of passion because there is a pressure. But in this way of dealing with religion, it brings you in a mode of goodness because there is no pressure, but there is a bigger responsibility on you. You are the owner of your actions, and you will enjoy or you will suffer, but you will, you know, it's all due to your own actions. It's nobody is pressuring you to do something. It's like when you want to eat meat, in the Shastras is mentioned, you shouldn't eat meat because when you eat meat, you lose all these qualities of yourself. But if you want to eat meat, you can eat meat. And then before killing the animal, you whisper in the ear that in this life, I am killing you and I will enjoy your meat. And in the next lives, as much hair that you have on your body, that many lives, you can kill me. Based on that, the Shastras allow to eat meat. But that means that you are, you know, you are conscious that in next life you will be killed by that other entity. So the responsibility is totally yours. So in especially in Vaishnavism, we talk about good values, good morale, but we talk also a lot about who is God. Not what is God, but also who is God. Where does he live? In certain religion, you cannot even mention who is God. Who are you to ask, you know? So we should accept that there is God, and you shouldn't go to that topic normally in some religious groups. But in especially Vaishnavism, we go to that topic, and we become very much connected to the personality of God, who he is, what he likes, what he doesn't like, who his friends are, who is his mother, who is his father. You know, everything we know of him. You know about Krishna. You know about Ram. You know about God, why he comes. What does he do? What is your relationship with him? How can I see him? How can I serve him? How can I develop my love for him? So, yeah, in from that point of view, then this is correct, that this is that this statement, the supreme abode, can be achieved only by surrender and by no other means. Then it is correct. Is that okay? Like in that painting there, you see one person there reaching out to Lord Vishnu, and we are like, you know, drowning in this material ocean of suffering. But actually it's not only one person, it's like millions of people, you know, drowning there and reaching out to Lord Vishnu. And Lord Vishnu, we know about him, we know what he does, we know when he will pick us up, we know what to do, how to get his attention. So that information makes the process complete, because otherwise, if that was lacking, imagine if that was lacking, how would we be able to develop our bhakti, our love for God? How would we be able to develop our good qualities? Because we will be focused only to the society and be a good person. But that means that we become like more like up on a karma level, karma yogis. So the Bhagavad Gita talks about Bhagavan, is spoken by Bhagavan. And Bhagavan is addressing the jiva, Arjuna. And there is a relationship, like I mentioned. And that relationship is manifesting and growing eternally through bhakti. Other questions? Even if you are Shudra, even if you are Shudra, or even if you are Vaishya or Kshatriya, you are under the control of the modes, or, you know, the modes of the nature, material nature, are working on you. So even among Shudras, you have devotees, but also transcendentalists, like sannyasis. I was also amazed by that. I was thinking, you know, it's only brahmanas. But also in the Shastras it's mentioned, you have a shudra, you have shudras, and they have amongst themselves also leaders, community leaders, devotional leaders, spiritual leaders, that helps them to develop a certain attitude of servitude, of service. So, and to do their service in the right way, like among Kshatriyas, you also have spiritual religious leaders. And so the mode of goodness is especially, you know, we expect from a Brahmana that he is more manifesting the mode of goodness, qualities in the mode of goodness. We expect actually also from the Kshatriyas, because the Kshatriyas are controlling activities in the mode of passion, but also they are controlled by the mode of goodness if they qualify themselves. Do I make sense? They are controlling the mode of passion. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So, and the same goes for the Shudras, actually. The Shudras are expected to become also in the mode of goodness when they are performing in the right attitude their service. Of course, they are more subjected to the influences of the mode of ignorance, and that's why, you know, there is more, like when you read the Shastras, there is like different kind of reactions to their actions, which are not good or not agreeable. So the actions for reactions of Shudras who do bad things. They are there, but they are less heavy than actions or bad things that a Brahmana does. They are more heavy. So in that way, it is accepted that Shudras, they should be also in the mode of goodness, or qualify themselves also to come in the mode of goodness, and to understand their proper service, their proper duties in life. So as soon as they understand their dharma, and they work from that point of view, and they serve whoever they are serving in with the right mood, then they are in the mode of goodness. So I'm afraid now of Manu. Because he said, when I come in, the class has to stop. No, it's okay. So if there are more questions, I will hear. For now, we will do some nice kirtan. Thank you. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.